And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh, New York strip steak?
Ooh! This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang! Yeah,
yeah. With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper, Trevon Edwards, Dave DeFore, Jay King, Wazzy Lambre, all joining me today on this Monday edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast. Jade Hoy producing. And guys, you know that I was going to talk about it once it turned. And you knew it was going to turn because... hold on a second. Oh, yeah, that's that heat culture, baby. Oh, my goodness. This before the Heat played the Hawks, and you know what?
Oh,
I don't care because the
be careful with that snorting
veins.
Sound when talking about a team in Miami, Zach.
Just smelling the air. What are you talking about? I was just smelling the air. Smells like heat culture out here, you know? You guys want to buy a boat?
After the two all-star yes. snubs.
Wait, all right. Which, okay, you know me. I am Mr. Heat Culture on this podcast. We could stop with the two all-star snubs. They had one.
It was one. They had one. Bam got snubbed. Jimmy didn't get snubbed.
Jimmy
hasn't played all year.
Jimmy's played like eight games.
Did Jimmy really get asked to be replaced? I'm not rolling with that. He missed so many games.
That Dwayne Wade thing. You don't want to talk about Heat Culture. That's what it is. It's, hey, Dwayne Wade's retiring. Jimmy Butler's like, well, I barely been playing. Put me in the all-star game. He just wants that honorary spot. Yeah.
I think what Jimmy Butler wanted, I think he wanted the spot so then he could get the all-star nod, then say, I'm not playing.
But not go.
Then give
right.
him a bam. I think that's the chain of events
ultimate
that he
teammate.
Wanted, right? Yeah, exactly.
The Fugats is strong in Jimmy Butler.
Yes, but guys, the Heat, you know? Everyone wanted, where's the Heat culture? I know Jay King wondering, where's this infamous Heat culture?
Say hello to my little friend!
Jay King, be quiet.
Hey, hold on.
You know
hold
me,
man. Now, Zach.
Mr. Heat Culture.
Zach.
Yes.
All right. I understand. They've won a bunch of games in a row. All right. And they beat Utah, which, hey, that's a great win
Stomped
for them, right? But here's who they've beaten so far. They beat Sacramento, who is, you know, likely to have a new coach after the All-Star break, maybe. The Lakers, who don't have Dennis Schroeder or Anthony Davis. They beat them by 2 points. World champs, though.
Yeah,
you're right.
World champs.
They beat Oklahoma City.
Refused to tank.
You know, that they do. They do. Very good. They beat Toronto, who is so much better. Right? They're better than their record looks.
Defending champs.
So to me, they've gotten, I think, even a diminished Lakers team, that's still a good win because that's still a pretty good team. They beat Toronto and they beat Utah. You know, the other ones I don't really care so much about, but the bigger thing is the trend, right? Like they're trending in the right direction. And I worry that it's too late for that top 4 or 5. And I don't know that this is a team that wants to be in a play-in, given how much they, you know, it seems like they're depending on some hot shooting here, minus that Lakers game. Like they've been shooting the ball really, really well lately.
Well, that's what they do, though.
Right. When things are going well, but when things aren't going well, right, like they're not shooting well. So they're living and dying by the three right now. So, you know, I don't know, like, Zach, I really want to ask you, because clearly they're better right now than they have been, but is this good enough? Like, are you seeing stuff aside from the shots falling that makes you think, okay, they've finally figured this out, they've gotten healthy, and guys are starting to get their legs back under them? Because I don't know that I have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah, because they're playing as a team. Like, one, they're you're not getting 30 minutes a night from Gabe Vincent and Max Strus. That alone is a huge thing. Goran Dragic is healthy.
Right.
He was playing. He was not healthy for the first part of the season.
He was so good the other night.
Yeah, he was so good the other night. They don't even have they don't even have Tyler Hero back yet, right? Like, he still has this hip injury. Yeah. They're not fully healthy. Bam's had a bit of a knee issue. They're getting Jimmy Butler back in the mix where he's not really shooting all that well, where he doesn't look all that comfortable shooting, but he's scoring, right? He's scoring and he's leading, he's right. defending and all that stuff. And we saw that as he's just like throwing grown men off him the other night against Utah to get these buckets inside. And the defense has been there all season, right? So it's not like they're trying to figure out how to defend now. Like, the defense has been there all season. Now the offense is catching up and they're two extra games out of, we're recording this before the Hawks game, but let's say they beat the Hawks two times in a row here. They're the four seed. Yeah. Like, they're four games behind Milwaukee for the three seed. Like, they're 5.5 out of the one seed. Like, I will be shocked if the Heat don't have a top four seed this season. Assuming there are no major injuries to them this year.
Yeah. The East is really nuts because, you know, Toronto had that really like poor luck start where they were losing a lot of close games. And now all of a sudden they're the four seed.
Right. Like, too. Yeah.
The Wizards are on a run. They're the other really hot team right now. They're 2.5 games back of the four seed.
My thing about the Heat is I haven't watched a single Eastern Conference team play to the level that the Heat got to in last year's playoffs, except for Brooklyn. So, like, if you want to say, oh, it might be a mirage, I'm like, do you really think the Heat can't beat Boston or Milwaukee or any of these or Philly in a playoff series?
You just said Philly with some disgust.
Oh, please. Give me a break.
I got high hopes on Philly, and it's been that way.
They have no perimeter playmaking.
Philly's good.
Get out of here. But Joel can't do it by himself, guys. Eventually, Ben Simmons is going to have to be a killer on the perimeter. And I'd like to see him do it in the playoffs and then do it again in the finals.
I like Tyson Simmons on Harden and Kyrie.
Yeah, that's actually a fascinating matchup. You
know, the one thing I keep coming back to with the Heat,
I feel like
they haven't really filled the Jay Crowder role. I would feel a lot more comfortable about them if they go out and get someone in that mold before the trade deadline, someone who can be tough and versatile and shoot some threes. And
well, they were hoping, you know, that was going to be Avery Bradley for them.
But even Avery Bradley is like 6'2".
Right. He's going to be a smaller version of it. But that's the guy that they miss the most, I think.
Yeah, I just feel like his presence last year allowed them a lot of defensive versatility and allowed them to have a bunch of guys around Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo who would space the court. And obviously he was shooting really well, but just the fact that he shot a lot of threes from that spot was big for them, I think. I just don't know if they're as good without that type of guy as they were last year.
Here's where I'm going to channel my inner Woz, okay? We're talking about Jay freaking Crowder.
Okay, but Jay Crowder was big for them.
Sure. I mean, yeah, sure, but that
they don't get to the finals without Jay Crowder.
Right, but if you remove, like, Jay Crowder was a great shooter because
I love Jay Crowder, but we wallin'.
Jay Crowder.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying he's irreplaceable. I'm just saying
he made 40% of his threes at like 7-8 attempts a game. That was huge.
Yeah,
and he's never going to do that ever again for the rest of his life. Right. So
yeah, he was hot.
Look, man. Like I said,
look, if
I
Jamal
love
Murray
Jay,
scores 50 a game like he did in the bubble, then let's pencil Denver in for the Western Conference Finals. Like, you're right. Like, you remove Jay Crowder, who defensively was very good for them, but they can replace that by getting Mo Harkless back on board, right? Like, Mo Harkless can play defense, and he's 6'8".
Mm-hmm. Mo Harkless is like a broke man's Jay Crowder.
Jay Crowder's a broke man's Jay Crowder. What are we talking about?
Like, Jay Crowder's pretty good, man.
Yeah, but Mo Harkless look,
again. Let's relax, bro. Like, I'm listen. Yo, can I have the floor?
Go for it.
Yes, please.
Thank you, man. Because I like glue guys, I like roll guys, and all that other stuff. But I'm not going to say that's the makeup of this team, and that's make or break. I think that they find a guy at the deadline to come in, plug and play. And I think other guys step in. They've been banged up all year and obviously Spo coaches the hell out of these teams and keeps them in the mix. I mean, I didn't even think of them to go on this run. They have the longest win streak currently active right now in the NBA, and I definitely didn't see it happening now. I thought it was going to happen after the break, but they're ahead of schedule. as far as the Jay Crowder talk, he's been serviceable. You know what I mean? He's been really bad on some teams, and he's been really decent at best. You know, and last year he was proven to, you know, show his value and earn him another deal out in Phoenix. So overall, I'm not going to gush out and just say, like, he's make or break of the Heat success. I think they still have Milwaukee's number. They still have Philadelphia's number. And then also Toronto. So in these situations, they match up pretty well as long as they got Jimmy Butler. You know what I mean? Yeah. And those guys respond right after him because, you know, Bam's continued to get better. He's playing, you know, exceptionally well. But I don't think that just losing that one player guts them. You know what I mean? Like, I think that, again, the guys that they picked up are going to eventually gel. Like, you got to think about when you plug and play new guys and the guys that they got for cheap that do what Jay Crowder does, you know what I'm saying? It takes a minute. And I think when they're at full strength, they're going to be a scary team to match up with. But Philly, Brooklyn, those teams right there, I think they're sitting up at the top by themselves. You know what I mean? Like,
that's interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Because last year, it's a little different. You know,
yes.
Milwaukee was, everybody was just, Milwaukee, that's it. You know, Milwaukee's going to do it finally. And Miami punched him in the mouth. Miami don't have nothing for those three dudes in Brooklyn. I don't think Miami has nothing for Philly, especially if Philly can go get a guy like Kyle Lowry. If they can go get J.J. Redick. You know what
Lowry
I'm saying?
Lowry could just swing this thing.
Lowry changes a lot because he plays defense.
How do you bring in Kyle Lowry at $30 million?
So here's the thing.
This is tough.
Here's the thing. They got a bench to unload. They can gut it, right? Get Mike Scott by, pack bags, and the Raptors
Danny,
do a justice.
Danny Green.
Because this is the thing. They just want vets, and they want some future assets. It's not like they're just going to wring his arm and hold him hostage. It's like, look, you got us a ring. You've been nothing but good to us here. We're going to send you home. And that's it. You know, like,
if the Sixers get Kyle Lowry, I think they can beat Brooklyn.
I wouldn't be surprised. Right. I wouldn't be surprised. Right? Yes. That puts them up
like,
there.
That just makes them so much tougher in the sense that they're going to get into their best version of their offense all the time now because they have a serious person doing it.
And someone who could knock down the three.
Right.
And run the O and play defense on the other end.
That being said, does anybody on this call think Jimmy Butler's going to lose to the Sixers in a series?
No.
To those dudes specifically, like the way Jimmy Butler got his ass up out of there, like the feeling he has towards those cats, like
I like Tyson and Ben taking turns on him though.
All right.
He's going to have Ben Simmons crying. Like if
yo Butler in a Philly series is, oh my god,
I wouldn't take Miami over
listen.
Brooklyn, but I'd take him over this Philly team. And I think
listen,
this Philly team
Jimmy,
is really good, but I'd take him over this Philly team.
Jimmy is like this though, Zach. Say your dad owns a fucking like 1968 Mustang, right? And it's the family car and it's Old Faithful. Like it could go 100 miles. You don't put miles on it. Y'all done drove to Georgia. Y'all done drove to California in it. But eventually it breaks down. Come on, man. I love Jimmy. I think Jimmy is very serviceable and can do what he needs to do because he has heart over everything. He's the toughest SOB in the league when it comes to that. When you keep overusing him,
But here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Jimmy Butler a Chevelle.
Right, but in that race against Philly, he's going to slash Ben Simmons' tires. Okay?
Well, he's actually the car and gone in 60 seconds that they were trying to steal the Shelby, bro. I'm going to give him the Shelby, bro.
He's like, there's no, like.
I just think he's so much tougher than those guys, man. Like, mentally, physically, he's just so much tougher than those cats. The perimeter cats specifically, not Joel.
And you think he's not
going
to hunt out Tobias Harris on every possession?
Oh, man. You can't guard me, son.
I like Tobias, bro. I like the
Tobias
makeup
too.
That they got
in
Philly right now,
Jimmy
bro.
Butler.
And I think Doc Rivers not going to get circled around, man.
That's a good point, too.
Come on, man.
Wait, hold on.
Like
hold
I said,
on,
this
on,
ain't
on,
this
on,
ain't last year,
on,
bro. They had Brett Brown, bro. He was just quibbling his what's old boy?
What happened to Doc against Michael Malone?
I mean, because look, he was stern. Listen, first of all, he was stern with them dudes, and them dudes was checked out before they even played a series. So I ain't going to do that with that.
Yeah, but that's been like every Clippers team he's had. Like, Doc's a good coach. Don't get me wrong, but like, this ain't 2008 anymore. This isn't 2010. Like,
We don't get phantom wins either, though. That's the thing. And I think he's learned from his mistakes. I don't think he's going to die on a hill like Bud.
But like I said,
Zach, I don't know, bro. I can be wrong, and I'll come back and apologize towards the playoffs. But right now, I got faith in Doc Rivers.
I have more faith in Steve Nash than Eric Spoelstra a couple months ago
about giving up 120 points. They all circle back and apologize. So, like I said, I don't believe in Miami. I mean, not Miami, Milwaukee. I don't believe in Toronto. And right now in the three East teams right now for me, Brooklyn, Philly, and Miami.
I do think Brooklyn's the best. Because as bad as their defense is, I don't know where the firepower would come from Miami.
It'd be tough
to match whatever scoring that is, right? And they
from anybody.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, like,
You just can't score with them. They can't stop anybody, but they can stop you enough to make up, like, they can make up the difference with their offense. You just cannot stop them. So all they have to do is get like a few stops here and there, and they could walk to the finals. Like, that offense is just insane.
Yeah.
I think to beat them too, you're going to have some motherfuckers. Because you're going to go up against
Jay Crowder.
Kevin Durant. You're going to go up against Kevin Durant. You're going to go up against James Harden. You're going to go up against Kyrie Irving. And they're going to score so much. It can be demoralizing how much those guys are going to score if you don't have the right mentality, the right mental toughness. And I think that's where you trust in Miami too. Because they do have guys who are tough as hell. Like, even Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, those guys don't get phased. They don't get phased.
I would like it if Tyler Hero got a little phased. Okay.
It would help him.
I think Tyler Hero's
unfazed. Tyler Hero is the best. Tyler Hero.
I've got some vibes right now from Tyler. I would like to see him back on the court next to Jimmy just to see it settled down a little bit.
I think that this is where, like, Harkless for them is so important, Zach, like, to your point earlier, because Harkless is a guy who they absolutely is going to have to play a lot in a potential series. Look, and I'd say against Brooklyn,
rationally in the bag for Mo Harkless.
New York?
New York, Queens. You know the vibes.
It wasn't loud enough, so you know, I didn't know what you were getting at.
You gotta wait for him to get back.
I didn't
get
the Waz warm up.
Yeah, you gotta wait for him to get back on the court before Waz gonna get loud.
But to your point, right? I do think like this playoffs, it's Brooklyn and Philly, right? And it's everyone else as we're like coming up to it. I don't think either one of those teams are perfect. Like, we know the weaknesses of those teams, but I think that they have shown so far the ability to not get bogged down by those weaknesses. I mean, you know,
bogged down Brooklyn, Bogdanovich.
You go. But Brooklyn has managed to figure out how to win with DeAndre Jordan in the middle, right? Well, and a lot of Jeff Green in the middle, which has been interesting. And I think that if they can carry that over into the playoffs, and their offense continues to do what it's been doing. In particular, when Kevin Durant is going to be out there,
he's not even playing 100%. Right now.
Like, I know, and they're rolling. And I just think, I don't know if I believed it.
Well, Luka
the first week,
boys
I was
on
like,
his
that
last
defense
night as a 21-year-old.
Yeah, he did.
He did, but like, no Kyrie, no KD. You know.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Right.
I mean,
I think you know the thing about
Spider-Man meme for James Harden and Luka.
The thing about Brooklyn, when I think about it, I'm like, well, neither James Harden nor Kyrie nor Kevin Durant has ever actually been tasked with problem solving for a whole playoffs and done it, right? Like, they've never done it. That nobody on that team has ever had to do that. But the nature of the team is such that they're not going to have to. Like, they're not good. Like, James Harden's not going to have to figure out how to do the thing that he doesn't want to do all the time, how to do something else and be effective at it because Spoelstra took it away from him. He's not going to have to figure it out because he plays with fucking KD and Kyrie and vice versa. So it's like, man, yo, like they cover each other's weaknesses so well. You know, when Kyrie comes out and he's like, yo, Hardy, you're the point guard. Yeah, because you're not. You know what I'm saying? Like the way they're able to cover each other's deficiencies, man.
Right.
It's going to be tough.
It's a very interesting trio, you know, because I wouldn't call them complementary to each other necessarily, like not directly, but their ability, like you just said, to, you know, like whatever Harden's weakness is, KD and Kyrie can handle it and vice versa. And so while you may not have a tremendous amount of overlap as far as collaboration between the three on their skills, you still have every single offensive attack mode in your bag. Like you can do whatever you want.
Any defense, right. Any problem a defense can throw at them.
And what do we know about the playoffs, Waz? What does the playoffs usually wind up coming down to?
You got to beat the man in front of you.
Who can get you a bucket?
Do you have Kevin Durant or do you not have Kevin Durant?
Right. And you know, like this is my thing about Utah, and it's my probably my biggest concern, right? Like the guy that who's going to be taking your mid-range pull-ups, because that's what Utah's going to get. Teams are going to know we got to run them off the line. They want to launch those threes. We got to protect the basket, and the mid-range is going to be there in the playoffs. And you know, it's 6'1" Donovan Mitchell doing it. Whereas for Brooklyn, you know, it's 7-foot Kevin Durant. It's Kyrie Irving, who you know is 6'4" and is one of the best mid-range shooters. You know,
Kyrie
6'4"? Isn't he 6'4"? Nah, 6'3"?
Kyrie's 5'11.
Okay. Nah, he's right. Like 6'2".
Still, he can get to that mid-ranger in a way that I know that, like, I don't know that Donovan Mitchell can get to it reliably and make it. You know, we just haven't seen it. And so, you know, when you look at what Brooklyn has, I think their strengths outweigh the weakness of that defense.
I'm just happy Mo Doc Hill has to eat crow. Because when the trade happened, I told his ass.
Oh boy.
I said, Waz, come on, man. It's the NBA. You have to stop people. I'm like, but Mo, Harden's going to run the point. He's going to find it. He's not that good of a playmaker. Mo, yo. Waz.
But they've been defending okay, too. That's the thing.
And now Mo has to eat crow. Eat crow, Doc Hill.
Crow, Doc Hill.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
That's what we're going to rename him. Well, guys, what if the Brooklyn Nets run into just a stellar defensive unit like the surging, and at the time of this recording, at least 500 New York Knicks. Oh, sound the alarms, Jade. It's going to be weird if he doesn't really listen to this pod as he
If he doesn't.
But the New York Knicks are 17-17 after, by the time this is posted, they might be 18-17 for all we know because they're playing the Pistons.
It's crazy.
And the Knicks tape has never been louder. Actually, it's been louder before, but
it's been much louder.
It's playing again. It's playing.
Yo, Zach. So, my buddy, Uber Knicks fan, guy has the Knicks tatted. You know,
oh, that's tough.
He named
his son John after John Starks.
Oh, man. I'm so tough.
That's amazing.
You know what this man said to me?
Oh, no.
We're a Bradley Beal acquisition away from contention.
Oh, God.
You know what? Wait. I don't hate that. I don't hate that.
From contention,
contention
son.
Is wild. I like Come Bradley Beal. On, I like the bro, Knicks.
Are we talking like in the division?
No.
What I'm talking about Philly, good.
Miami.
Even then, they're third,
Brooklyn.
Right?
Hey, let's relax.
Oh, hold on.
All right. So listen, Zach. I was feet on ground yesterday. I was near the garden.
Uh-huh.
And the game ends. Bro, you would have swore they won a championship.
Yo, I
17-17. So
straight.
I was right over there
so
on 23rd.
Happy you are getting to experience irrational,
Listen,
ridiculous
I'm out on 23rd,
Knick
Waz.
Fandom, son.
And cats are just honking the horn and running through the streets in orange and blue. And I'm like, did God. Something happen? Like,
They're
did D-Rose
so
have
sick.
80? Did Emmanuel
They're
quickly
sick.
Break a rookie record?
They're
just 17-17.
Sick.
Hold on, but
on a New York
Waz,
weekend.
Waz. Somebody tweeted today that Julius Randle is better than Chris Bosh.
No. That dude was strictly God.
Knicks are
for
back.
Attention. He was strictly looking
oh
for attention.
Knicks
that
are
was
back.
A hacky-ass radio move. They were That's strictly crazy. Looking for attention.
That's crazy.
I love it.
But they're better fourth than... in the East now, right?
Because at one point he said, would Chris Bosh ever win? It's like, motherfucker, what did wow. Julius Randle
oh,
ever win?
Okay. All right. I
had no idea who that was.
I did hear.
No, we're not.
Which is impossible. But I did hear somebody say Julius Randle, MIP.
Yo, right now, like, can you even name three bigs in the league that are genuinely better than Chris Bosh at his peak? Well, maybe Joel and Jokic. But that's it, though.
I love how Waz said that we're not even doing this with Chris Bosh, and then was still triggered enough to go and do it with Chris Bosh.
I can't do this shit.
Listen, anytime he became the third wheel, it made basketball fans forget
Son,
that he's a 2010
Chris
guy.
Chris Bosh is chasing point guards out to fucking half court,
change the game,
challenging cats at the paint, splashing threes, hitting open men. Mm-hmm. Get the fuck out of here!
I like my
he
Chris Paul
game.
With dreads, bro. That was my Chris Bosh when he got
he
waves and moved
game,
and started pouring champagne in celebrations. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, I'm hipster. But
you know, Steph Curry deservedly gets a lot of credit for changing the league. But I mean, Chris Bosh doesn't get any for some reason. And I have no idea why. Like positionless basketball in Miami is because
will say
of
people
Chris
like
Bosh,
Julius
right?
Randle are better than him. That's why.
Yeah, it's nuts. That's
anyway,
nuts.
Zach said it was a troll, so we shouldn't do this.
Yeah, I need a little
my
bit
bad.
More.
My bad.
Listen, I don't want to take away from Julius Randle's moment, though. Congratulations to him making the All-Star team. Congratulations to the Knicks raising the banner going 17-17. We need more.
No, but they, all right, look. We're
this is
making
great
fun
for them,
of
though.
The Knicks because of Knicks fans, right? But the team
yes.
is legitimately
yes, the team is nice.
Like, fun. Good.
They I'll play hard.
Hey, they play 13th so in net rating right now. Yep. Right? Like 34 games into the
That's
season,
crazy.
13th in net
yeah.
rating.
That's crazy.
The defense 30 is on defense.
They got, yeah. And look, the offense, now, most young teams struggle offensively, right? And I actually think Tom Thibodeau is a pretty good offensive coach. It's all about getting personnel. And I think that's why they got Derrick Rose, because, you know, they want a guy who knows how to get buckets in Thibodeau's offense.
There was a lot of people that hated that move. That was crazy.
Well, they thought it was going to take away from
it's just obvious.
Minutes, right? Like, Elfrid Payton should not be playing.
Yeah.
By the way, the quickly thing amongst right. Knicks fans, it's getting
No, I wanted to go further.
He is shooting 39.
Let's go further.
Like,
who cares?
I'm all in on the kid.
He's
but again,
good, but
I love him too.
It's
I love
New York.
Him too.
Yeah. Yes. Was your hometown, and you have yes. to understand that
they're insane though, Trey. They're ridiculous.
Let them be. Let them have something. Listen, it's COVID vibes.
You're right.
And
you're right.
A lot
you're
of people right. aren't happy about things. So yeah. if this is the joy of their year, let people
I
have
feel like
it.
Was,
even if it's a crazy Bradley Beal contention take.
I don't hate son. That take, but. I'm not saying
Come
I agree.
On,
I just don't hate it.
Zach.
I don't hate it. All right. But hold on. I feel like Waz is about to channel his inner LeBron 2011 finals press conference where he's like, tomorrow you're going to wake up and go live your lives and I'm still going to be LeBron James. Right. And I feel like Waz is going to be like, tomorrow you're going to wake up and James Dolan's still going to own the team.
No. I'm not doing that. And listen, You know, we got to give it up to Tibbs. Yep. Because,
hey man, he was.
I definitely shat all over the move.
He was right in Minnesota. He was right. They were wrong.
He was. Facts. I definitely was like, this CAA thing is a little ridiculous, bro. You guys are just going to fucking hire every single person that was your client. Like, I definitely was on that wave. But I will say this, you know, anybody who's been coached before knows your coach will try to convince you that you can do anything on the court, that you'll be Jordan, that you'll be Pippen, that you'll be, you know, the best defender ever. You'll make every shot. Your coach is going to try to convince you of that. But God, by golly, these Tibbs, man.
Hey, man, getting that.
God
look,
damn.
Like, that team, right? Here's the guys playing the minutes for them, right? Julius Randle, R.J. Barrett, Mitchell Robinson, Elfrid Payton, Reggie Bullock, Alec Burks, right? That's top what six in minutes per game. That team is third in defense.
That's insane. That's crazy.
That roster has no business being third in defense, and that's how well he's coaching. And that's
they are
how well
long as hell, though. They're long as hell. Robinson, Nerlens Noel. They're long as hell. But you're right. Like, they have no business being as good as they are defensively.
Yeah, and it's not going away, right? Like, it feels a little bit like, at least the way I've viewed it, is last year I kept going, man, the Mavericks are really... like, historic offensively, that's got to tail off at some point. And I've been doing that with the Knicks defense. Right. And now I'm just like, no, they're just a good defensive team, a great defensive team.
Yeah, they get to where they need to do the rotations and everything from the perimeter to the paint. And, I mean, they've embodied Tibbs. I mean, you know, obviously he's always been that guy. But the knack, obviously, is him overplaying his players. He's even got a chance to make, you know, Frankie Smokes be serviceable. And
I'm glad he's getting some type of tick,
man. That is a coaching heat check right there. That is Tibbs going, I've been so good as a coach this year. You know what? Frankie Smokes, get your ass in the game.
I haven't found minutes for Frankie Smokes.
Well, if he would unleash him, if he would just fully unleash him, he would see
what
that guy's all about.
What does that mean?
Listen, y'all got to watch some FIBA.
Are you a Frankie Smokes guy?
Oh, my God, man. I love that kid.
Apparently.
You give me a French point guard, and I'm all in no matter what.
I tried
defends
it with
like that.
Smokes. He just,
the way he
like,
defends, man.
At a certain
Dave,
point, I'm with you.
As a guy who's under 6'5", you should know how to dribble a basketball.
Waz. Dave's got a great point. But, if you put Frank Ntilikina in FIBA basketball, he's really good. Unfortunately, he plays in the NBA. But if you put him in FIBA, he's really good.
Hey, it's plenty of players that done came over here and couldn't crack it and didn't go back to the FIBA.
Play too, right?
Zach, like, it's the same thing as to this day. Do y'all remember Dennis Smith that once? Dennis Schroeder that one summer in Euro Cup?
Oh, yeah.
Where he was just literally cooking. Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it's something about the TS ball, bro.
Yo, that ball is amazing.
When you shoot with the TS ball, bro, the rim's the size of a hula hoop.
Yeah,
I'm not even gonna lie to you.
Well, it's got more.
I used to smoke 3-point contests.
Has more grooves. It's a shooter's ball. Yeah,
it's all good. But listen, you're not gonna sell me on no Frankie Smokes offense. Defense, yes, he's a wet blanket.
Oh yeah.
But offense, we play hot potato with him, bro. He just stay on the other end and wait for him to play defense.
Look, man.
I think if he was 6'7", he's got a better career. But
fifth, we'd all exactly. be drunk.
I don't care how tall he is. All I'm saying is New York is healing because I live here. The Nets are good. The Knicks are good. Hope to see both of them in the playoffs. Hopefully we get is that called a Subway Series?
Subway Series. Yeah, why not?
It'd be amazing, bro.
Good.
You get the Subway from Barclays to MSG, right?
Yo.
Yeah, you kind of can.
Close enough.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
I've never thought I would like watching Julius Randle as much as I do, man.
Yo, I've been anti-Julius Randle his whole career. He's legitimately improved to a point where he's not just like, okay, he's good to watch. Like, he's legitimately a good basketball player. I've been resistant this whole time, but he's good.
He's outrageously improved. He shot 27.7% from three last season, and now it seems like he's just knocking him down left and right.
I am a little worried that this is a Jay Crowder situation with shooting the ball, right? Little worried that it's a flash in the pan.
That could be the case. But
it is a contract year. But the rest of the game is he's playing. Like, he always put up numbers, but he's put up numbers in a meaningful way, and he's defending.
He's playing team ball. Yeah. Look at the assist numbers. That's where he's improved the most to me. He used to just dribble, put it with his head down, get into the paint, and force some BS. And now you look at him. He's their best playmaker. And that's where it's kind of been the most stunning growth and the most eye-opening growth. He's always been a guy who's athletic enough and strong enough to get to where he wants, but now he's making better decisions. He has been one of the most surprising stories in the league this year, one of the best stories in the league this year. And, I mean, he's got fans parading in the streets for a 500 team.
Look, come on, man. I know it's ridiculous, but the Knicks were nothing but a joke since what, 2013? Is it the last time they made the playoffs, 2013?
Yes.
Yeah. Roy Hibbert put the smack down.
Yo, I was watching an All-Star game on NBA TV the other day, and it was such a time capsule because I saw Roy Hibbert in the game and he took a floater. I thought, and Andrew Bynum and Dwight Howard did the jump ball to start the game. I felt like Marty McFly. Like I had traveled back in the DeLorean. Like it was just so odd to see all those dudes. And Blake Griffin was dunking. Oh my God, what a time.
Those were good days.
Those were great days. I think it was the 2012 All-Star game I was watching. What a great days. Right.
Man. All right. You could have bought some GameStop.
That would have been the time. That would have been the time to do it. All right. You guys want to play Fraud or Not?
Yeah.
Let's play Fraud or Not right now. Okay. Gentlemen, we'll say it with the New York Knicks. In terms of being a lock for the playoffs, Dave. Fraud or not?
Sorry, my internet cut out when you said the team, and I thought you were going to repeat it. Go ahead.
The Knicks as a lock for the playoffs. Fraud or not?
Oh, you know what? Are we counting the play-in, or are we saying top eight?
I'm firmly on the record as the play-in tournament does not count as the playoffs.
You know, because I have the standings pulled up because – right now they're tied with Toronto for that four seed, right? But they could easily be out of the playoffs by, I don't know, March 10th. You know what? I'm in. I think the Knicks make the playoffs. I think they're going to be the eighth seed.
Trey, fraud or not, lock for the playoffs, New York Knicks.
Lock, but lower seed.
Okay. Waz, Mr. New York, fraud or not, a lock for the playoffs.
I think they're going to be in the play-in, but they're going to win it. They're going to. I like this type of team in that type of setting. Like, they're going to be used to playing all out, playing hard. They're going to the playoffs. Yes, they lock.
Jay,
I got them dropping out.
What?
I just think.
Wow.
Look at the teams behind them.
Such a mass hole.
The defense, man.
I mean, they'll be in the play-in. And it's just, do they win it? So, and if they're in the play-in, like, I don't know. Are you going to take them over, like, Brad Beal if he gets into a play-in? Are you going to take them over, I don't know. Like, Indiana, Miami, and Boston are all behind them. I expect all those teams to finish above. And then the fight for the 7th and 8th will be... you know what? I've talked myself into it. They're going to be a playoff team.
Wow.
They're going to be a playoff team.
Yeah, I'm going there a lock to make the playoffs. I just, they defend too well. Like, they're still pretty bad bad offensively, but Tom Thibodeau has them believing, and I think they can avoid the play-in tournament. I think they can lock up a top six seed. Like,
I'm not even sure. It's real.
The defense is real. Like, we're 34 games into it. This defense is legitimate. Offensively, I have some issues, but also I don't think the talent really affords them a lot to do much offensively. So, yeah, man, like they defend the three, they defend the two, they defend it all. I'm in.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, what about Jay, the Boston Celtics, fraud or not, for avoiding the play-in tournament?
Yeah, I think they'll avoid it. But it's going to be a lot closer than they would like. I think as they get healthier, as Kemba keeps playing better, he's played better recently. Yeah. I think they'll end up being a top six team. I mean, they're tied for sixth with Miami right now. I think they'll probably leapfrog New York. Toronto, I mean, they could go either way depending on what happens at the trade deadline. I think Toronto is very dangerous if they stay intact. But if they move Lowry, who knows there? But yeah, Boston will avoid the play-in tournament, but it's been ugly lately.
I don't know that I believe that the Raptors will move Lowry.
Yeah, I don't either.
The more I think about it, like, that's not really a Masai Ujiri move.
Yeah, I mean, it's wish list stuff at the end of the day. Yeah. And they still feel like they can make a run at things, and nobody wants to see Kyle Lowry gone, especially in Canada. So at the end of the day, he's their best chance to continue to move forward, even though Fred VanVleet has been playing well and Spicy P's coming along, you know. So overall, you want to keep him in the uniform as long as possible, and it's pretty hefty. But no such thing as nothing untradeable contract.
Yeah,
so
for sure. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's a matter of whether or not they can trade him. I just don't think they will want to.
I think he's got a market for
but
sure.
But does everyone agree that he makes it past the deadline as a Raptor?
I think he does.
I think he's out.
Wow.
I might be the only person that thinks he's out.
I think it's very iffy. Like, because I think if you're Toronto, there's no way you can look at your team and think we've got a realistic chance this year. They lost in the second round last year. They haven't gotten better.
A realistic chance for what? Like to contend? I don't know that they think that. Like if they get to the second,
if you don't think you're a contender, then you have to at least consider trading Kyle Lowry, because there are teams where Kyle Lowry can make the difference.
Okay, but he doesn't mean anything to those other franchises. I mean, this guy is a Toronto Raptor icon. I mean, he won a title there. Like, I don't know that they can just move him for PR reasons.
And I don't.
DeRozan was an icon too.
This is on ownership.
Yeah, but it's different. It's different with Lowry. Like, there's a relationship there with Lowry that is different than the DeRozan relationship with the fans.
Yeah, and also I don't think they brought that's in necessarily Kawhi. Like,
right.
They didn't just move him to get him to where he wanted to be,
to get Andre Drummond.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right. And I don't think that necessarily you should make decisions that way, but I certainly can understand it for a team like the Raptors. But there's also the reality that, you know, he's an older, small point guard. And you know, while he's still good and he doesn't have a ton of miles on him because of, you know, playing limited minutes through his career, I just, you know, if you're Toronto, we talked about this on Nerder the other day. You have an identity crisis right now. And the only way you can move on to the younger guys is to actually move on to the younger guys, because until Kyle Lowry is not on that team, that is Kyle Lowry's team. And I don't know if that's necessarily good for them going forward. So they should move him, but it's tough.
I think if you can get to the second round of the playoffs, like, that's enough reason to keep him.
Agreed. I agree with you. Yeah.
Got to keep the Tampa Bay fans happy.
And look, but also, title town now. The thing is, maybe he wants to stay. I mean, because Kyle Lowry's not going to retire. And maybe he wants to stay, and he's willing to, you know, give a discount to stay in Toronto for the rest of his career.
Right.
And so without us really knowing if that's like a conversation that's going on, I don't know how we predict it, because that's ultimately what this is about. Is Kyle Lowry gonna spend the rest of his career in Toronto, or are they gonna move him now when they can actually get an asset for him and move on and go ahead and, you know, start planning the tribute videos and maybe a statue?
Yeah, that's a big part of the equation too, because obviously he's a free agent after this season.
Right.
And if he intends to leave and go chase a championship somewhere, then they should definitely trade him now.
Yeah, and they kept flexibility just in case.
That's really, really a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, they kept flexibility just in case of Giannis, right? Well, now Giannis isn't on the market. So, and there isn't really a guy out there, unless they want to try to like trade for Bradley Beal and use some of that cap space to absorb whatever difference could be in money going out. But like, there's no guy out there on the market for them to just go, all right, we're going to use our cap space on that now, or our cap flexibility on that now. So it might make sense to just kind of keep the band together and try to add pieces rather than, all right, where can these guys go? But Waz,
yo,
fraud or not on the Celtics avoiding the play-in tournament?
They're going to avoid the play-in tournament, but it's tough. It's tough when Jason Tatum just isn't the guy everybody thought.
There it is.
Kemba's hurt. You know, they're missing Marcus Smart as if he was the second coming. It's tough, but they're not going to go to the play-in game. I think they're gonna eventually find themselves when all their guys are back together. And because they do have the continuity, they do, like, they have it. They have that. So they'll be able to muster up a nice little run and get it done. But Jaylen Brown needs some help.
Yeah, he does. Hey, Jay, let me ask you a question. Do you think that this is putting pressure on the front office there to actually go out and be a little bit more aggressive than they normally are at the deadline?
Dave, stop. They just did that whole whack-ass press conference.
And, well, here's the thing, though.
Defending
their
whackness.
But he's right about
you don't do that and then they'll go actually make moves. They do that to preempt the fact that they're not going to do dick.
Well, Danny Ainge is right that the traded player exception will be a more powerful tool for them if they carry it to the offseason. He's right about that. But he also got a ton of other assets on the team that aren't necessarily ready to contribute now, but that may be good players and you know, you've got picks. But I wonder if they feel like they need to do something now. I mean, I get Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are young, but as we always talk about, the second they sign that contract, doesn't the clock start ticking?
Yeah, and I think that's it's a tough conversation, because obviously they do have the trade exception and this team has obvious needs. But at the same time, like, where teams go wrong sometimes, I think, when trying to build around a young star is they try to get aggressive too early. And for the Celtics, they've I guess they've kind of been forced into it because guys left. But they went from they had a timeline with veteran guys to now it's like, okay, this is Tatum and Brown's team. And their decision-making should be longer sighted now, I think, than just go out and try to win right now. They have to build a team, like you said, for those guys to stay. And like, they didn't go out and spend a couple picks to get the trade exception to not use it. They're going right to use it at some point. And this team is definitely in need of depth, a lot of depth.
Let me ask you. Al Horford's sitting there, right? And he was in their timeline before. He fits in that TPE, doesn't he?
He does, yep.
Yep. I mean, it seems to me like you could reunite the band and see if you've got something there. Marcus Smart's going to be
what
back.
What if that band is like Creed? It's like a bad band. Why would you want to reunite?
Did you just turn Jason Tatum into whatever the fuck his name is?
Oh,
come on, man.
Was.
The dude T.I. stopped from suicide? Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and I don't think, like, Horford to me now is only a center. And where I think they can most easily upgrade the roster is the perimeter. Like, they're playing big minutes right now to Aaron Nesmith. They're playing minutes to Jeff Teague, who hasn't been very good sometimes. Peyton Pritchard, who's been good for a rookie, but still very young. Like, their perimeter can very easily get upgraded. And I think that's their biggest concern right now. Not a center, even though Horford, just the playmaking too. That's another thing. Like, Tatum and Brown need playmaking help, and Kemba will be better for them as he gets healthier, but he hasn't been fully healthy yet, even though he's trending in the right direction. So they're just short on playmaking and shooting right now outside of those guys, and the result has been some ugly, ugly basketball.
Does anyone think that the Celtics will be in the play-in tournament?
No, they'll be in the playoffs, but still on some fraudulent stuff. I chose violence, Boston. I don't like it. Brad, you know, I'm with Dave Dufour on the Brad Stevens hate. I think he can coach, but I definitely think that his seat needs to warm up in the passenger. And they need to figure it out, man. They really need to figure it out. I know Jay King, that's your squad and whatnot.
It's crazy to me. Like, and this is, I'm not trying to denigrate what he is, but like, it's crazy to me that Marcus Smart would mean this much, right?
That much, right?
Like, he's a really good role player. And obviously one of the best defensive players in the league, but you can't fall apart because Marcus Smart isn't there when your two stars are.
And then drag Kyrie into it.
Like, that was wild.
It's been a crazy 2 weeks, bro. For them,
Jay,
like,
were those comments?
How did Kemba Walker feel about that?
Were those comments from?
Shouts
from
to Kemba too. He had a good game the other night.
Were those taken out of context, or were those comments correct? Like, correctly taken.
They were taken out of context a little bit.
Okay,
he was just kind of trying to.
But you said a little bit. Please like, explain
how they got to the point they are now. And obviously, that was a big part of it. Obviously, they were planning to build around Kyrie and Gordon Hayward and then hopefully go after Anthony Davis. All that stuff fell apart. And so now they're, I think, more at the beginning stages of building around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And this roster right now is very thin. It's very young. And it needs help.
I understand the point, Jay, that I guess that he was trying to make a little bit. But at the same time, you can't have the storylines where you're feeding, like, where the organization is feeding to the media, like, oh, my God, you know, just the locker room just so much better this year than it was last year with Kemba. Right? Like, now look at this. We're so much better. So much better. Oh, we made the conference finals. Look at us go. Like, this is Celtics basketball. And then the next year, you're shit. And now it's like, well, you know, Kyrie really screwed us. But you can't do that. If they had been like whatever last year, fine. But all we heard was, oh, what a breath of fresh air this Kemba Walker is. And I'm sure he was. Like, that team was good, but this team's shit right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this team, they weren't built to sustain injuries. And that's part of the reason why Marcus Smart's absence has been felt so much, is because the depth just isn't there. And when Smart is out, and especially with Kemba missing the second leg of back-to-backs, then everything is on Tatum and Brown. And those guys, they've advanced as playmakers. They've made progress in that. But that's still not what they're best at. They're still scorers first and foremost. And so when they're tasked with making all the plays, there are, you know, times of stagnation, and there's not a lot of shooting around them to help them with that. So there's a whole bunch of problems on that Celtics roster, I think, and they need to address that with the trade exception and beyond.
Only one should have been an All-Star.
I mean, I know Waz agrees with you.
I'm so glad Jaylen has panned out like this. No, and I'm glad he's getting his recognition for being the best player on the team.
He is.
Because for a while, and even, you know, the other day, Brad Stevens was like, well, you know, at the end of the game, Jason Tatum's our guy, you know, even though we gave the ball to Jaylen and he delivered at the end of the game, really, you know, Jason Tatum's, I'm like, yeah, all right, bro.
Because you take one off of that team, then listen, it's going to be a problem.
Oh, it gets bad. Yeah.
I mean, it gets really ugly.
Yo, you took Marcus Smart off the team. It got ugly.
Who knew? Marcus Smart should have been an all-star.
No, he's a real all-star on that team. All right. We got two more for fraud or not. The Phoenix Suns as actually able to make the conference finals in the West. Fraud or not?
Fraud. That's a big fraud.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's a fraud.
This team's really good. I love
they're Phoenix.
They're good
but
as hell.
They frauded out. I don't believe that much.
Whoa.
I love Phoenix. I just came from Phoenix, bro. No, don't. Let's don't do that.
All right. They do have Jay Crowder. that's, you know. No,
shout out to Chris Paul.
They're really good.
Shout out to Devin Booker, the most disrespected player in the league. And then let's just not do that. Unless I don't see them like beating the top three teams, bro. They're not seeing the Lakers. They're not seeing the Clippers in a matchup like that. I don't even see them getting the Nuggets out of there like that.
Right, exactly. Because I mean, you know what happens,
you
right?
That fraudulent Nuggets team. Nobody would listen to me. I'm trying to tell you about that.
They've been injured, Zach. Don't do that.
Yeah, but Suns do play in the playoffs, and Suns do get it off the first round. I like that. I'll give them that.
All right. And then the last one. We started with Heat culture. We're going to end with Heat culture, guys. Fraud or not, after the Miami Heat brutally dismantled the Utah Jazz in a close game. I mean, just put it on them like a true conference champion would. Utah Jazz contenders, fraud or not. Yeah, we're overreacting to one game. You're right, Jazz fans. We are.
Which tells me a lot, right?
Fraud or not.
See, no, I think
Jazz fans think they're frauds.
I just will not
to be honest. I'm not even going to lie.
That's a good point, because I do think Jazz fans, for the most part, do think there's a little bit of fraudulence here. Like, they're not this good, but they don't want anyone
Jazz
else to
fans,
say
bro,
them.
Because they're realistic.
Yeah.
They'll be like, look, yeah, we signed Rudy Gobert. We love Rudy Gobert, though. But are we going to win a championship? Probably not. And they'll be like, and we'll not fight that. They're okay with, making it to the playoffs.
I think they're not frauds. They're contenders. They're just not the favorites.
I wouldn't go that far.
Honestly, I think they're going to win their first round series for sure. And...
Yo, right now, I hate this guy. I'm not saying this, but
I believe Mike Conley's an all-star over them making it to the finals, bro.
Guys, there's a chance that 1-8 matchup could legitimately be Jazz Nuggets.
And they might get rocked.
What if that happens, dude? That's going to be brutal.
That's bad.
That's going to be brutal.
That's bad for Utah. That's bad.
I feel so much better about Jazz Warriors than Jazz.
Yeah, 100%.
Jazz Nuggets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the Jazz are going to actually defend Golden State in such a way where it's like, all right, yeah, Steph, do your little thing. But, like, it's going to be a bunch of Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins jumpers forever.
Shouts to Draymond hooping, too. Got some buckets.
Yeah, Draymond's doing
his thing.
The Nuggets have the firepower that they could catch him. But the thing is, I think that the Nuggets are probably better than they look or have looked so far this season. I think the Jazz are probably not as good, obviously, as they have been, you know. But that's the
are
top
they the
half
Milwaukee
of the
Bucks of the West.
No. Their stuff is better than that. They really are a better team than that. Nobody's having a career year. Like, it really is just a lot of solid play from every single person in the rotation.
The Indiana Pacers.
Absolutely. Jordan Clarkson
90s.
Is going to be the sixth man of the year.
Yeah.
Coach Snyder is probably going to be coach of the year. Like,
absolutely.
They're the Ron Artest Pacers.
Oh.
That's fair.
That's not bad. Yeah, they're a good team. They're a really good
team.
And
good.
They're better than, like, I would say
I
they're better than 25 teams
them,
in the league, right? And if you're in that top five, top six conversation, then you start getting into the separators, right? Like the Lakers, they separate themselves because of LeBron and Anthony Davis. The Clippers, they've got Kawhi, they've got Paul George. The Nets, they've got the three-headed monster and Luke Kennard, right? Philly, they have Embiid. And then when you look at Utah, the one thing that does bother me, like I mentioned before.
They have screen assists.
Well, and hey, listen, they matter, man. But I don't count them. But you look at that team and it's like, so who are the guys that you trust when, you know, it's nut cutting time? Who do you trust?
I mean, Clarkson
when
might
you
be
gotta
guy,
hit?
Might be one of those guys. Though.
He might be.
Yeah.
Right. And I think Donovan is that.
Mitchell.
I think Donovan is
like
that guy.
I'm
right.
I'm a believer in Donovan.
We've seen enough.
in but those high leverage possessions. I do.
You need a second guy though. And you know, yeah. it's going to be Joe Ingles. It's going to be Conley. It's going to be Boyan.
It might be Boyan. Yeah. Boyan's fearless.
Right?
Yeah.
He really doesn't care. And so, but until they get to the playoffs, we just don't know because we need to see it, you know, in the playoffs. They don't have that sort of built-in reputation. Even with Donovan, like we only saw it last year. I need to see it again before I say, all right, this is a guy that you know in the playoffs you can trust to get stuff done. I think he's going to be great. I think this season is going to be his coming out party, but this playoffs is when we're going to start talking about him in a completely different way. He's having an excellent season on a really good team. A little bit of like, it's obviously not the same sort of output, but shades of like Steph Curry in that 2014 Warrior season when they won that first title, where everything is running through him and he really is driving what they're doing, but his numbers are not insane. I think it's totally plausible that this team with some injury luck, if they only have to play one of the Clippers or Lakers, they could make the finals.
I'm just glad that in this episode, we all agreed that Miami Heat going back to the finals. That's right. They're the best team in the Eastern Conference. Jimmy Buckets, Big Face Coffee, Bam Adebayo, Goran Dragic, Fear the Dragon, Unleash the Dragon. That's right. It's hero mode, Jay King. You can't handle the Heat. Miami Heat going to the finals. Everyone agrees. It's unanimous. Thanks for listening to the Basketball's edition of the Athletic NBA Show. For Jay, for Dave, for Waz, for Trey, and Jade, I'm Zach. Go Heat, go!
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.